The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered Nicodemus, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered Nicodemus, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Wisdom tells us that change is hard. Instinctively, we know this. We've all, or most maybe, have failed at diets. We've bought gym memberships that we never fully used. We've experienced the repercussions of change when we do little things. Maybe we put the ketchup in the fridge door. Maybe we move the photocopier paper at work. Maybe we get a new haircut. And people around us respond negatively because change is difficult. Recently in my life, I've attempted to undergo a change. And this has been about 2 years in the making, and I'm still getting some pushback from those around me, but I think that this change is starting to take hold and it's starting to settle in. The change that I have attempted is around gift giving. As the children said earlier, birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, Easter, whatever it may be, kind of times when gifts are given and gifts are received. I realize that there is an extremely pragmatic and practical side to me. And when it comes to receiving gifts, when people have come to me, my wife, my children, parents, friends, they would come to me and say, "What would you like for Christmas? What would you like for your birthday? What would you like for our anniversary?" And I took this as an opportunity to ask for things that I would simply buy myself. So if someone says, "What's need for Christmas?" I would say, "You know, I broke my snow shovel last month. I could use a new snow shovel." Or if someone says, "What do you want for your birthday?" I'd say, "You know, I'm running out of socks. I need some more socks." And this would go on and on. And I finally hit my low point. About a year and a half ago, it was Father's Day was coming up. And my children came to me and said, you know, like they're all excited, "Dad, what do you have for Father's Day?" And I had them shopping for new radio tires for the boat trailer. And there was no joy in that for them, as they are shopping for bias ply tires for the boat trailer. So I hit rock bottom. Like an alcoholic that wakes up all alone in the hotel room, he doesn't know how he got there. As my children gave me boat tires, I realized this had to end. So, my anniversary came, Christmas came, some other events and occasions came, and I said, I'm not going to tell anyone what I want. People will come to me and say, what do you want for? And I'm going to say, nothing. What do you take for Christmas? Nothing. What do you want for your birthday? Nothing. What do you want for our anniversary? Nothing. And here's where the change comes. People get very angry when you say nothing. People want you to tell them something. They want to know if the gift they give you will be appreciated by you. They don't want to aimlessly walk through aisles looking at every item on the shelves, wondering, will he like that? Does he need that? Will he appreciate that? Will he throw it out? Will he return it? Who knows? In my small little research, I've discovered that people don't like being told, buy me whatever you want. I don't need anything. But this is what I've done. When people ask me, what do I want? I say, nothing. They say, shut up. And I say, really? And they say, no, tell me what you want. And I say, nothing. And my wife, God bless her, is teaching Sunday school right now, isn't hearing any of this. But they eventually start getting a little bit upset. But I've continued to work my change. And we know that change causes friction. And I continue to say nothing. And it has been the best thing ever. Of course, I do not get nothing at Christmas. Of course, I do not get nothing for my birthday or nothing for Father's Day. But what I do get for gifts are the gifts that people have chosen to buy me. Not gifts that I've asked for. Not gifts that I said, oh, here's a hole in my life someone needs to fill. But gifts that people have looked and said, I bet he would appreciate this. I bet he would enjoy this. I bet he would cherish this. I bet he would like this. And the gifts that I receive are not snow shovels. They're not bias ply tires for the boat trailer. Not ice chippers. I once had Olivia give me a jerry can for the lawnmower. Not like that. Instead, I get gifts of love. And they mean a lot. I've received handcrafted Christmas ornaments from my girls. I received beautiful and loving suppers and evenings with my wife. My parents have given me photo albums compiled throughout the years that they've gone and they've put together, but nothing I would have ever asked for. But the truth be told, I'm so blessed, if I need a jerry can, I can just maybe go buy my own. I don't need my five-year-old daughter giving it to me. And I've just been thrilled and blessed by the gifts that I've received. Because you know what? I no longer control the gift-giving process. It's not me telling people what I need. It's people thinking for themselves, knowing me and caring about me, my friends, my family who love me, and saying to themselves, what do I want to give him? What do I want to share with him? What do I want to show him? And that has turned things 180 degrees in my life of gift-giving. Truth be told, as a family, we spend less, but we get more. And that's not so common in our world. I get more personalized love. I get more memories. I don't just get utilitarian tools. I get something that says, here are my daughters at this age in their life saying what they think their dad wants. I get memories and time spent with my wife, her saying, here's what I want to give my husband. And this flows out into other relationships. Today we have the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus is one of the Sanhedrin in the Jewish world. He's a wise man. He is consulted for his knowledge of God's law. People come to him to settle disputes, and he's heard of this Jesus. Maybe he's heard of miracles. Maybe he's heard of Jesus' profound teachings. Whatever it is, he comes to see Jesus, to learn from Jesus, maybe to figure Jesus out, maybe to say, yeah, I saw that guy. I wasn't impressed. Who knows? But he comes to Jesus. Now, he wants a gift. But he has already decided in his mind. Nicodemus has already told himself the gift that he wants from Jesus, in other words, the gift that he wants from God, is wisdom. But he comes to Jesus, and he does not receive the wisdom that he desires. He receives a testimony about being born of the Spirit, about being born again, about throwing away the things of the world and working for the things of God, about seeing power and beauty and blessing and majesty, not in the constructs of our world, not in money and wealth and power and prestige, but it being found in vulnerability, it being found in love, it being found in relationship, it being found in new life and new understanding. And he scratches his head and he looks at Jesus and says, "Ah, that's not what I want. I want to live the same life that I have now. I just want to live it better." And Jesus says, "That same life you have now, that same life that makes you powerful, that same life that makes you respected, that same life that guards and protects you, is not the life of God. The life of God is a life of service. It is a life of love. It is a life of support. It is a life of prayer and a life of giving. And as long as you hold on to the old life, the fleshy life, you know, the things that gratify our bodies, our vanity, our wealth, our security, these things, the fleshy part of our existence, St. Paul calls it. Jesus says, as long as you hold on to the fleshy things in life, you cannot experience the spiritual things of life. These gifts the children talk about, peace, hope, love, healing, blessing, new life, support, friendship, whatever it may be, these are of the Spirit. So we have a choice. Where do we put our energy? Do we put our energy in increasing love and increasing service and increasing support and increasing prayer and increasing friendship and increasing peace? Or do we serve the flesh? Do we simply work to increase ourselves? Enrich ourselves? Bless ourselves? Feel better about ourselves? Where does the energy go? So where we plant is where we will reap. And this becomes the Spirit being born again to living in the flesh. The old Adam in us. The original birth. But finally Christ says, to top things off, maybe the greatest verse of Scripture, or at least the most well-known. If you watch the Super Bowl, you'll see some guy with a big hairy chest holding a John 3:16 sign. A better evangelist I've never found. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that all who may believe in Him will have eternal life." It's a gift. It's not the gift the world asked for. It's the gift that God knew we needed. We are going to march ourselves to Good Friday. We are going to go through the weekend. We are going to come to the joy of the Easter resurrection. But we would do well to ask ourselves, how did Jesus, this guy with a few broke followers, with nowhere to lay his head, with no army, with no power, with no prestige, end up in front of the Roman authority? How did he end up on the cross? Why did the Jews start chanting, "Crucify him, crucify him"? Why was Caiaphas angry at him? Why did they arrest him? Why? Because Jesus is not what the world was looking for. The world wanted things of the flesh. The world wanted a Messiah who would come, who would bring up the sword, who would throw out the Roman oppressors, who would restore Israel, who would make people fat and rich and party all night. And instead they get the suffering servant. They get the Son of God with no home and no money and no army. They get the outcast. They get the person that eats with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. They get a person who grafts us on as Gentiles to bring us salvation. And in the process, they get angry. They told God, just like me with my children at Father's Day, exactly what they wanted. "Give us a Messiah, Lord. Give us a warrior. Give us a political leader. Give us someone like King David." But God gives them a different gift. God gives us a different gift. God gives us the gift, not of an army, not of political retribution, not of prestige, not of wealth. God gives us something much more precious, the gift of salvation. God gives us a gift of the Spirit. They wanted a gift of the flesh. They wanted to be more powerful, more prestigious, more wealthy. That's not what they got. They got Jesus. This is what marches Jesus up Mount Calvary. This is what nails Jesus to the cross. This is what ridicules Jesus as he is dying. Because they can't get their heads around God not giving them exactly what they wanted. This is the good news of the Bible. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. That God hasn't given us what we ask for. God gives us what we need. Our lives as Christians is not to conform God to us. Not to make God look like us. Not to have God want the things that we want. But rather to conform ourselves to God. To move out of the flesh and into the Spirit. To see God at work in our world. Not just in the power, not just in the beauty, not just in the strength, not just in the money or in the political system, but to see God at work in tears, to see God at work in unemployment, to see God at work in war, to see God at work in bankruptcy, and recognize this is where the world rejected God, but this is where God chose to come. God has come into the muck of our lives. And that's good news for us because our lives are very mucky. Our relationships aren't perfect. Our health isn't perfect. Our sense of self isn't perfect. Our children aren't perfect. Our community isn't perfect. And if we only look for God in perfection, in the perfection of marriage, in the perfection of parenting, in the perfection of bank accounts, or the perfection of having a clean house, wherever it may be, they will never find God. Because we don't reach perfection. We don't reach perfection of mind or body or finances. When we fail, when we stumble, when we're up at night worrying about something, when we're sitting in the doctor's office waiting for results of exams, this is where we find God. And we should not reject that God because that is a God that liberates, that is a God that saves, and that is the God of a new creation. This is what being born from above means. This is what being born of the Spirit means. It's saying, you know what? I reject the power of this world. The power of the world that says, you know what? I'm not smart enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not influential enough. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not good enough. I can't love enough. Whatever it means. Because that's what the world tells us. You need to buy more. You need to do more. You need to have more. You need to see more, etc., etc. The world makes us consumers. If you want happiness, you eat this, you buy this, you go to this place, and you wear this. To be born of the Spirit says, no, I'm not going to find happiness, true everlasting joy, salvation, or meaning in these things. I'm going to find them in the Spirit. I'm going to find them in a hug from my children. I'm going to find them in forgiveness from my wife. I'm going to find them in making friends with a neighbor. I'm going to find them in prayer with you. I'm going to find them in service with outcasts. In other words, I'm going to find them in exactly the same place that Christ did his ministry. This is the Lenten challenge. As we march towards Good Friday, ask ourselves how we live lives that reject the risen Lord. How are we trying to conform God to us? And in the process, let us try and conform ourselves to God. Let us move from the flesh and move to the Spirit. Let us pray more and love more and serve more and give more. Because these things are infinite. These things are of the Spirit. This is the good news of the gospel. That God gives us not what we ask for. And oh, how we would love God to be our butler in heaven. Giving us the money we ask for. Giving us the security we ask for. Giving us the vanity, the strength, whatever it may be that we ask for. The new RV or ski boat, I don't care. Give it to me, Lord. But in the process, we lose sight of God. Let us conform ourselves to God. Let us look more like Christ. Let us speak more like Christ. Let us pray more like Christ. Let us serve more like Christ. God has given us the gift. We can accept it or we can reject it. But either way, it was God's gift to give. Amen.